Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to hour number 4 of Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. As the voice gets progressively deeper as the night continues on, I want to talk about body cameras. So approval for police body cameras have now been passed here in St. Louis. Noisy crowd demanding police body cameras got what they wanted. It's an article you can find now at KMOX.com. As the mayor, the comptroller, and president of the board of aldermen passed the plan to move in that direction. You've been continuing to hear it over and over and over again in our newscast because it's a very important step. And it was one that I didn't think was all that contradictory to what everyone wants, which is truth and honesty when it comes to prosecution. I think this would try to clear up a lot of the problems we're having. Let me see if I can find this clip. Because the people that were there, there was Mayor Lyda Crewson, of course. There was Comptroller Darlene Green and Lewis Reed. And Lewis Reed was on KMOV just yesterday. And I want to find that clip because it was really good. And I didn't have a chance to play it yet. Let's see. Where is it at? Did I not save it? I don't think I saved it. Well, either way, it was. I'll reiterate what he was saying on KMOV. So he went out there and he was talking about how the areas that have implemented these body cameras for police have done a couple of different things. And one of the key things he pointed out that I think is absolutely true is that it helps bring trust between the police. Oh, here it is. KMOV brought him in. Here's President Lewis Reed talking about body cameras.
Here's where I'm convinced of all the major cities across America, 75% of the major cities across America now have major police departments across America now have body cameras. And the data has shown that the incidences of use of force dropped dramatically. The issues of the public not trusting the police department changed dramatically. All of those things that will help us out as a city. And if by putting body cameras in place, we can begin to heal our city and have the police department and law enforcement work closer with our community and the community build more trust within the police department, then let's do body cameras.
That was KMOV, and he was on the other day, and I recorded that, and I didn't have a chance to play it, but now it's appropriate. I saw Kevin Killeen was live tweeting and posting photos and videos from the event. The protesters that were there, I won't say protesters, but the people that were there were yelling and screaming. They were just, la, 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 you got to hear me. So it was, they say it was used to help influence the vote. As President Reed there said, if it wasn't for them, like his quote is, where was it? He said, if it wasn't for the people there, he doesn't know if it would have got passed. Mayor Crewson whooshed out the door. And whooshed is the technical term that Kevin Killeen used when he wrote up this article. Whooshed out the door and down the hall to her office, chased by a school of reporters to whom she declined to comment. I love Kevin Killeen. That is such a well-written sentence. It is so good. Reed talked about how without the crowd, it wouldn't have passed. I don't know about that. Then Green walked up to a couple of police officers in the hallway afterwards and told them, it looks like you're going to get the body cameras. In response, police union in the past have opposed body cameras, saying it has it's a contractual right to oppose them. The current police contract is under negotiation. Could be, what, $1.2 million at stake? They still have to, at least, even though this is the final passage, they still have to work out the details of the contract, what could happen with this company and the body cameras. I am super duper for body cameras, and I've talked about it on the show. I think body cameras are important, and I think what this will do, because we've seen in these areas where police officers are accused of wrongdoing, these body cameras clear it up. And I'll tell you, a lot of the times, and most of I would wager that it's most of the time the officers are instantly able to exonerate themselves of any wrongdoing because of these body cameras. It works in their advantage a majority of the time. And the other times where the body cameras are on there, there's some discrepancy, as in it might have been turned off, and that all of a sudden adds some doubt. But for the most part, these things are so important to gaining public trust again. Because if you have a video of it and you can show a video of it, all of a sudden people are more inclined to believe what the officer is saying, right? Because they can see it in progress. Let's go to Tom real quick. Tom, what's going on, man? All the way from Ohio.
Hi, Ryan. You know, I think that every police department should have body cameras. Mm-hmm. But I think they should also be equipped in such a way that the police officer cannot turn it off. Mm-hmm. Now, if they have a personal necessity or something, well, then, you know, they ought to have a remote. They ought to have a way where the dispatcher or somebody could turn it off for a period of time. But the other part of that is that they can't be relied upon completely. I think the value of them is that because everybody has a cell phone camera or something of that nature, that chances are somebody's taken an angle of it anyway in the public. But the problem is that, you know, you go to football, to the idea of a football instant replay.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times you have to look at three or four angles to see what really happened.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of different cameramen. You're right. How many times do you look at it and you still don't know?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you can see it one way and get one impression, and then when you see it the other way, you can see another get another impression.
The
other thing I'd point out quickly, and that is that a lot you don't know about what happened in between the camera being on and up until that point. And what I'm getting in particular, I think back to the Rodney King case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all seen that over and over again, that picture of 25 police officers standing around in a circle and him being hit, you know, on the ground. But what isn't very often put together with that is the fact that he was driving in excess of 100 miles an hour on Los Angeles highways for about 45 minutes. That's the reason why there are so many police officers all the way around him,
mm-hmm.
is because it took that many police officers to get him off the highway. And he was high on PCP.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say that there were two other blacks in the vehicle who obeyed the police officer, and nothing happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you take a good look at that objectively, you will see that he keeps doing pushing his hands up off the ground, trying to get up. They wanted him to put his hands behind his back so they can handcuff him.
Yeah. And you're right. It was that video that was played over and over again.
But the interpretation of the video was that there's 25 cops standing around him beating him, you know, and either laughing about it or taking bets or what have you, you know, which wasn't the case at all. And also, he was on parole. So, I mean, not that necessarily enters into it directly, but that combined with the PCP and the 100 mile an hour speed and so forth, you put it all together, and the fact that the guy is resisting arrest.
Well, there's circumstances that won't show up on the video, is what you're saying, and that's why these body cameras won't show the whole picture. Is that basically what you're saying?
And okay. That's why a jury has to hear the officer's point of view, and that's why at times even though the video will show you one thing,
mm-hmm.
the jury comes out with a different result.
Okay. Well, Tom, I thank you for your call. Good to hear from you, man.
Yes, sir, Ryan.
Yeah. It's the videos accompanies the other parts of the trial, right? Or at some point, it could exonerate altogether. You know, I think there should be some restrictions to these body cameras. Each state has a different set of restrictions. I have some that I would like to recommend, depending on what they're comfortable with, but I think there needs to be some, and I'll talk about those coming up. But body cameras for police, the big meeting today, and it looks like St. Louis police officers will get them. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. So it's 2:20 in St. Louis, moving through the night and getting a call from Ledoux and John. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hi, thank you. Ryan, I want to ask you a question. I don't know everything about the latest police officer shooting, but from the little bit that I do know, they were chasing him around and he crashed and they ran up to the car, and we wouldn't be having all this chaos and all this, you know, discrepancy about if he had a gun, if he didn't, if the police officer waited in his car or just announced to him, get out of the car with your hands up. None of this might not have happened. They could have clearly seen that he didn't have a gun. I just think.
Well, the video is actually online, so you can actually watch the video that was recorded not only from the dash cam, but you can also watch the video from someone that was a person that was near the scene, was recording on their cell phone. But I can't say if the police officer sat back and said, come out with your hands up. It was past that point. That part was gone. The only thing that would have prevented this is if he would have surrendered and not have tried to flee police. That's how this would have ended. Or when the police officers approached the vehicle, he would have surrendered as opposed to trying to resist or reach for a gun. That's what would have prevented him from, hopefully, from dying. But it didn't end that way.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
but you. You can actually go online and watch the video if you haven't seen it. And there's other things that led up to that moment. And when you're a police officer and you're chasing someone at a high speed, when you had the vehicle that actually hit your car when he was trying to escape, the officers outside of the vehicle were put into danger because he was trying to get out of a tight spot. At that point, you don't sit back and wait for him to do something else stupid, which could have been him trying to get back out or trying to start the car up and go somewhere else. You can't risk it at that point because then you're just putting everyone else in danger again.
I
think at least. But go online and watch the video, and that's something that's been public for a while. You'll be able to see it for yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. You know, other countries handle this in different ways. I've listened to the way police work in some really interesting ways. I can't remember what country it was. I just want to say it's something like Sweden. It's one of those countries over there that they take things very lightly, as in they put the kid gloves on when it comes to police. And there was an instance where police have been training with these overseas agencies because they don't have the same problems we have here in the United States. So they want to see, okay, how do you handle these situations over there? And they were looking at one particular place where it was a guy who barricaded himself into a house. It said that other people were in there and there were people at danger as he was holding them hostage. Police, as opposed to having a standoff, and then eventually trying to find a way into the house to save the people or try to find the safety of the people, the police left. They said, well, okay, it's probably more dangerous for us to go in. They literally left, and the guy wasn't charged with anything. That's how the situation ended. I don't think that works. Now, if you look at the statistics of the country where their crime rate's lower, then you would argue it works. I don't think it does. Here in the United States, it won't work that way, period. Some places that say, you know, if someone's on a high-speed chase, you just let them go because it's more dangerous to chase them than to catch them. Now, I don't know. What you're doing is you're putting more people in danger at that point, as in the potential of people that he may be going to. Let's say the person was accused of a violent crime. What's going to happen when he gets out of the car? Is he going to just live a law-abiding life and we're just going to trust that's going to be his change? I mean, it's silly to think that. But when it comes to these police cameras, I do think there need to be some restrictions on it. One of the reasons I think that is because there's a certain level of privacy that could be violated for people that are just regular citizens. Now, imagine a police officer coming into contact with people in extreme situations. And, you know, when they get called to a scene, let's say a crash, a really terrible accident on the highway, and, you know, you're all bloodied or bruised, or maybe worst case scenario, they come up to a fatality. How would you like it if that video was made public because someone wanted to access that body camera? There needs to be some discretion and some privacy that are put into moments like this. I feel like the best scenario that you can handle these body cams is that you need to be able to release this footage, especially upon Freedom of Information Act, things like that, if it's involved in a crime. I think that's what you need to do, because there's going to be people that are going to take advantage of this. And this is what we saw in the state I came from, in Indiana. They had the body cams in Indianapolis, and the broadcasters were trying to sue the state and the police department because they didn't think it was reasonable for them to censor or hold back any video that was on a body camera. They said, anytime we have a request, we should be able to get that, no questions asked. And that, to me, raised a huge privacy issue for people. Now, they said, hey, this is public funds. This is the police. There's no reason why the police should be hiding anything from anyone. And they said, we should be able to access anything we want. And I go back to the whole privacy issue. I mean, how would you like it if this happened to your mom, or, you know, God forbid, and we pray that these things don't happen, but these police walk into these terrible crime scenes, how would you like it if these videos were made public where anyone can access and see these very private and terrible and heart-wrenching things that are close to you and your family? Or let's say they walk into a situation where someone's not dressed appropriately and you don't want that getting out on the internet because, you know, there's creeps. Or they walk in and they see something that they shouldn't see. And, you know, they may not be accused of a crime. They may not be involved in a crime. They might just be at this place or this moment in time where an officer happens to record them at a very intimate area, right? You don't want those things getting out. So, I mean, I look at it in a situation like that, or a traffic stop. You know, do you really want to take every traffic stop and use it as a way to shame people, your neighbors or whatever it is, or dox certain people? You know, that's what people will do. They'll find ways to do this, and they'll find ways to make innocent people's lives terrible, because that's what people do on the internet. They find ways to humiliate and take things out of context, or try to this. If you are not someone that's on the internet an awful lot, and I'm on the internet all the time, people, this is what they do. They just find ways to humiliate people. And that's why we want to use these body cameras appropriately and responsibly. So I do think there needs to be some limits on them. I also think there needs to be some discretion. I think if it's involved in a crime, then it should be easily accessible. If it's not involved in a crime, there needs to be some discretion. And if there's any type of sensitive materials inside, they need to be able to be censored. So, you know, a blurred line or a bar or something like that, so you're not getting some really graphic or inappropriate or you know, nudity, stuff like that, that wouldn't be right for people to use that and post it on the internet to shame you, you know? Those things need to be put into place. All right, so the body cameras, I do 100% endorse. And what it's going to be used in, if it's ever on trial, it's going to be a great thing for, I think, the police officers to have another bit of evidence that'll exonerate them from a lot of the problems and the accusations that people bring up. I think it's going to be a good thing for them. I also think it's going to be a good thing for people that may have said, well, the police are lying. And guess what? They're going to have a video of it now, right? It'll settle so many problems that we run into. Coming up, I want to replay one segment of something we ran in the first hour of the show. So we came on after the big Cardinals baseball win, and I was joined by Anthony Bartlett with St. Louis Transplants. And I asked him one thing about Amazon in particular, and man, was this dude on it. So we were looking at what's going on in the protest here in St. Louis. The question was, does Amazon look at the protesting and the unrest in some of the smashed windows and things like that? Do they look at that and say, St. Louis, maybe we don't want to be involved in a city like that? You know what his answer was? No. In fact, it may actually work to our benefit. I want to replay that segment because I thought it was so genius the way he presented this. It's going to be a big advantage, I think, to have someone like Anthony Bartlett. I don't know why the city doesn't hire him to try to get Amazon over here. City officials, if you're up this late listening right now, Steve Stanger or Mayor Cruson or anyone that may be listening right now, get this guy on your team. He is so good. Anthony Bartlett's answer coming up on Overnight America KMOX. This was actually a little bit earlier from tonight, but man, the conversation was so good. Anthony Bartlett from St. Louis Transplants. Go back and listen to the full hour on the podcast when it's posted to KMOX.com. You know, we post all the different shows right on there. I mean, you can listen to Charlie Brennan. You can listen to Mark Reardon. If you want to hear Sports Open Line, whatever it is that you hear on air, you'll be able to go back and listen to at KMOX.com, including this show. I know sometimes it gets a little late, and you have to slip off into slumberland, and you put on your little jammies, and you kick off your little slippers, and you lay down in bed, and you don't get to hear it all. That's fine. I do, however, want you to know you can go to KMOX.com and listen back to it. So this was earlier, and I thought this one part of the interview, we had a full hour with Anthony Bartlett. This one part was excellent. A conversation, a frank conversation about Amazon. Do we have what it takes as a city to lure in the big fish, the big dog? It's not every day a company like Amazon says, we want to come to your city. Do we have the opportunity to do so? Mike, our producer, said that Pat called in and he wanted to ask you regarding the protests that are going on. Do you think an Amazon looks at what's happening right now with this Stockley verdict and the protests that have followed and use that as a way in part or weighing part of their decision making?
I do.
You do? Okay.
I do.
So how much weight goes into something like that?
And Pat isn't the only one who's called our office asking that this week. And, you know, I think it impacts it to our favor in a certain degree.
Our favor?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll explain. I don't think the issue that St. Louis is facing with regard to the segregation and some of the things that it's faced is really the protesting and the demonstrations. What it's really facing is what is seen by the outside world as complicity. And so when people are in the streets and demonstrating peacefully, I think some of the other markets who have looked on St. Louis and said, you know, hey guys, you're in the epicenter of this. You were the beginning of this groundswell. And instead of ignoring the 800-pound gorilla in the room, I think it's important for companies and St. Louis to just go right at it. Say, yep, we are on the front line right now. And I don't think that has to be a bad thing. In fact, I think it's a great thing. I think it's actually a great recruiting tool. So great, you're going to go change hearts and minds in San Francisco. Awesome. You're going to go, you know, change a political climate and, you know, somewhere that everyone already agrees. Great. Why don't you come here? Here's where you're needed, whatever side of the aisle that you're on.
Wow.
And I think it's a huge opportunity that to attract young people, to attract people from all different kinds of markets to say, you know, hey, I want to be part of this. You know, this movement in large part started in St. Louis in 2014. We should be no more concerned about that than people being from Montgomery, Alabama. I think it's important that St. Louis leads the way and to say this is what we're doing with it. This is how things have improved. I would like to see more ways to answer the concrete question, which we get all the time, which is, you know, what in terms of policy has changed since Ferguson? Mm-hmm. And then to really be able to answer the questions, particularly people who are of an African-American background who are being recruited to St. Louis, they want to know, if we move here and we move our family here, what is being done? And I can tell you, I've seen a lot of very, very talented, dynamic, brilliant people who had a lot to bring to St. Louis leave. And the reason they left St. Louis was actually because they felt that there was not any and it wasn't being raised, that there wasn't a protest in some way, that there was this dynamic going on, the segregation that was very severe compared to where they were coming from. And then now it's getting attention. And I think it's actually an opportunity for someone like a Jeff Bezos to say, hey, Jeff, you want to change the world? You want to come make, you want to be that change? So here's a place where you can do that. Now, St. Louisans might not want that to change. And that's a different issue and probably a whole other show.
So what you're saying is that if people are empathetic about it all or people don't care, you can't work with those people. But at least there's something to work with. They can look at that as a positive to say people really care in a city like St. Louis. The protesters are out there. They care about their city. They care about how people are treated. And that's a positive for an Amazon.
Well, people, I think, don't feel one of the things that we see a lot. People will say, I don't feel appreciated. I'm not having an impact where I am. Either everybody already agrees with me, or I am not able to, I'm not in an environment where I'm going to be the person who can make that change. And if St. Louis sets itself up, I mean, I think that those protests and the demonstrations should go in the video.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
So when you market the city, you're going to include the protests.
Oh, I go right to it. We go right to it. A lot of people say, could you get on air or could you get online and could you start telling people how great St. Louis is? Well, because St. Louis is in flux, why is that a bad thing? Because a kid is in the process of making changes and growing, is that a bad thing? Is the city a bad place? Not at all. The city is in its transition, and this is a phenomenal opportunity for anybody who wants to do that. When you have the ads for the Marine Corps, they don't show the Marines running away from the explosions. They want to recruit the people running to it.
Wow.
And companies want that too. You want the person who says, I want to be aggressive. I want to make that change. I want to be that person to make a difference. And here is a challenge. And St. Louis wants people who run to challenges, not from it.
Wow. I got to tell you right now, I've never thought of that perspective. That's fascinating to me.
And I think we'll recruit way more, way, way, way more. What's keeping a lot of these things at bay is they feel that St. Louis hasn't acknowledged it and that they don't want it to change. But when they see all the people here who want it to change or who want to maybe protect it on whatever side, this is their chance to come get in the game. I mean, St. Louis is still in the game. We're in the game. I like that. I don't like being in California is not in the game anymore. Everyone already thinks the same way.
Yeah.
New York's not in the game anymore. Come here where it's we're in it. We're on the line. We're in the fight on both sides of it. And I think it's amazing. And the fact that we would lose talent or a young person or a college graduate because of this issue is ludicrous to me.
To me, you're basically freestyling at this point. Ludicrous, you are just going. So I want to look at this next question with those type of things you just said in mind. What are some of the other cities in contention, and do they have that same thing going on, or do maybe they don't have people that care like people here in St. Louis do? Like,
so St. Louis has been in this situation several times, and I will say, let's just take a few markets. So you're going to have a market that St. Louis generally competes with. So let's take a Boston, which has a lot of universities, a lot of young talent, a lot of similar attributes that St. Louis has.
Okay.
Let's take a Chicago, and then you can take another kind of more mid-market Rust Belt city, maybe a Cleveland or a Detroit. I think Detroit would be at the top of that list as far as making the impact.
Okay.
And then the other one to watch that not a lot of people watch for are the Carolinas, is North Carolina.
North Carolina, you think?
Yeah. So the Raleigh Research Triangle, I think St. Louis has done a very good job of getting it down, beating out the other maybe say 10 and getting it down to an area in which we're very similar.
Okay. In Boston, do you think there's any opportunity for using the same thing you just said, the people here in St. Louis, they care? Do you think there's that same mindset in Boston? Do they just care about, I mean, Boston people think differently.
They do.
They are very, like, don't mess with our own type of mentality.
We're alike that way.
Yeah.
They're very protective.
Very protective.
Yes,
yeah.
Very protective.
You think St. Louis is like that?
Absolutely. This is the most defensive city in America.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Not good at taking criticism. No.
Wow.
But I think they should wear the criticism. Don't worry about being somebody else. Wear the criticism. It's okay.
What about Chicago?
Chicago has some other issues between the state and the funding, and it's just so logistically impossible.
Crowded.
Boston, I mean, I had somebody come from Boston. They were paying $7,500 a month, and their car was six blocks away, you know, and not to mention the weather. Ugh. So I think there's ways to get to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly ways to get to a Chicago. I've said it on the show before, and I'll say it again. We are the city with the bones and with the stuff and with the infrastructure without the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you would have to be nuts if you were any large company coming here not to see that opportunity. All of our issues are social, and those are fixable.
Yeah,
Boston cannot find 8 million square feet. It just can't.
Mm-hmm.
We can. Our roadblocks are social in nature and more political, and that we can do something about. We can't create bricks and brick and mortar out of thin air. But in St. Louis, it really is about us and our attitude and our willingness to look at ourselves and to look at what we want to change. And maybe we don't want to change. Maybe St. Louis wants to hide.
Maybe St. Louis wants to hide. That's a good question. Okay, so the full hour with Anthony Bartlett's posted at camox.com, or will be the podcast. And we had a very great conversation with him. I thought those were some really interesting points you brought up. And it was a different way to think about what's going on now and how that could be used to our advantage. All right, one more segment coming up. It's Overnight America, KMOX. One last time with you tonight on Overnight America. It's a pleasure to be with yous. Not just you, but yous. Yous guys. So we post all the shows at KMOX.com if you want to go back and listen to that interview with Anthony Bartlett. I tell you, it was excellent. I liked what he has to say, and I think he is very smart at marketing the city, and I think it'd be a great idea for the city to talk to him, man. He's good. So I want to get to this one thing I saw posted on MSNBC. I'm not a big MSNBC fan, but what I am is a fan of broadcasting and behind the scenes at broadcast entities. So apparently someone leaked a video from Lawrence O'Donnell's show. It was the behind the scenes unedited video of him frustrated at his crew, and boy, was he unhinged. You can draw a conclusion, and I edited this clip not only for time, but to try to get all the swear words out. So you can hear a lot of bleeping. I'm warning you right now, lots of bleeping. But man, this Lawrence O'Donnell, he comes off as a calm and collective dude, but he is anything but that.
Thank you, Rachel. Well, today, President Trump visited Texas, but he forgot to bring any empathy with him. But he did bring a hat. A hat.
This was on August 29th, by the way.
58 seconds.
What's going on? Why am I losing this? Why don't I have sound? All right, it's back. Someone's pressing buttons and turning my sound off. Who's asking for a Labor Day rundown in my ear? Someone in that control room is out of control.
20 seconds.
Oh, it just starts. Now, this is just the beginning, by the way.
10 seconds.
If you thought that's bad, this is him. He's flying his hands up in the air. He's showing he's super frustrated.
So the president went to Texas today.
Right, so now they're back from break. We fast forward a little.
Sunday morning. You have insanity in my earpiece.
He's getting so frustrated.
Don't leave it there. It's not my earpiece. It's somebody talking on our lines.
Oh, he's
10 seconds.
This would make for a miserable work experience.
James Fallows and Josh Earnest, thank you both.
You heard that sound, the hammering in the background. Now, wait till he talks.
Coming up, is Donald Trump going to be called to testify to Congress? Michael Iskoff has the latest on that.
All right, so then they go to break. Oh, boy, wait for this.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I don't know.
Where's the hammer? Is it on the... go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
Oh, man. How would you like to work with this guy?
Stop the hammering. I'll go down to the god floor myself and stop it. Keep the god commercial break going.
All right, so he's going off on this.
Call Phil Griffin. I don't care who the you have to call.
All right, so how would you like to work with this guy? Okay, I bleeped everything else out. This is the tame stuff. In fact, it gets worse from here. It gets so much worse from here. I almost don't want to play it. It's so much bleeping.
Or out there somewhere. The woman talking in my ear was talking about the Labor Day special repeatedly.
Oh, it only gets worse from here. This is bad. All right, so let it play, you think? All right.
Yeah, what do you mean in the conversation? It's out of control.
So bad.
I don't know why I bother to say how to cut the slots when you don't do it.
He would be a monster to work with. I cannot imagine being in the same studio with him.
So now I have to chase those stupid entrails that you allowed him to stick out there. Crazy sound coming in my ears. Stupid hammering.
Oh, that mouth.
I told you why.
I tell you what. There's not enough soap in the world to clean that mouth out.
Sucks.
I can't do it anymore. It's terrible. I can't do it anymore, even after the bleeping. Who would want to work with this guy? Could you imagine you're this poor intern? You got recruited by a major network. You're working on the set of a major news network. In fact, MSNBC's ratings are still doing very well. I mean, they're up there and they're high because of Rachel Maddow's doing really well. And could you imagine you're sitting on the set and you're like, oh, Mr. O'Donnell, I'm so looking forward to working with you. And he starts pulling stuff like this in between the breaks. You know how you're going home and you're crying. You're going home to your apartment that you're sharing with five other people that you're basically bunk bedding because that's all you can afford as an intern. And you're walking and it takes you 2 hours to get to work and it's miserable because you're stepping in all kinds of garbage on the way through. There's rats carrying pizzas through the subway. The guy next to you doesn't have any clothes on. He's wearing a thong bikini. And then of all of these things, you finally get to your destination. You smell of body odor from everyone else that was around you and old eggs. And you get there and you're thinking, at least I'm at work now. And then you have to deal with this guy, Lawrence O'Donnell. Whoever leaked that video, thank you for doing that. Now, remember Bill O'Reilly? He had a same situation, but nowhere near unhinged as that. We'll do it live, Bill O'Reilly. We'll do it live. So much different. What do you think, Lawrence O'Donnell? You think he's swearing up a storm after he found out that video was posted online? I would say I'm not encouraging you to look it up yourself. The swearing, the video, by the way, is all unedited. So it's like a 9-minute video, 8-minute video, and it's just as bad, if not worse, because you hear all the swear words. This is definitely not safe for work material. Lawrence O'Donnell, you are not safe for work. You are unhinged. Nightmares Nightmares indeed. All right, I'm off tomorrow. Rob Carson's going to be filling in. I'm filling in for Mark Reardon. We'll see you on Friday during the day.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.